This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our outstanding producer engineer on the board. It is Thursday, December 5th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon from the Lake of Gichagumi, no, Lake Superior, down to Lake Michigan, to Green Bay, to the Mississippi River, the mighty Miss, and everywhere in between. We welcome you into this big show. Glad to have you along here on a beautiful day. It's crisp but clear. I like this, Zommers. I'd much rather have 20 degrees in sun, we've had this before, than 38 rain.
Yeah.
So I'll take this.
I would take a little more overcast because my eyes are sensitive.
Really? I guess I didn't know that.
My eyes are just...
I thought it was just the heat, but you're also light sensitive.
I'm not a vampire, I swear.
Well, if I bring in garlic and you don't come in, I am not supposed
to eat garlic, the doctor said.
That's fantastic. Big show today. Lots to get to. Lots of news. And also, yes, I am in my green and gold because it is a big day for Green Bay Packer fans. And, of course, the team, the Pack, traveling to Detroit to take on the top team in the division, the Detroit Lions. If the Pack has any hope to catch up, they must win this game tonight. And here to talk about it on a special Thursday appearance. I think he did this just because of the Packer game. Yes, he is a senior. He is a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, a native of River Falls, Wisconsin. He joins us from the nation's capital, like myself, a former Republican, but for all practical and important purposes today, he is one of the co-owners of the Green Bay Packers. Trigby Olson, how are you?
I am awesome. I am ready to go.
Are you?
I'm putting up the Christmas tree before the game.
Oh, wow. Festive. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I was not sure where you were going to be joining us from until you came on camera. I thought, well, maybe he's coming to us from Detroit. But no,
Seattle next week with somebody special, some special, we'll have some special guests. They're very excited to come on your show and talk Green Bay Packer football with you, Todd.
That's great.
I think you will discover as my older daughter, Ula, went to a high school football game with her friends, and after the game, they were all like, how do you know so much about football? You know more than the guys who play on the Washington and Liberty team.
It's true, right? We'll have to remind your daughters we have to remain FCC compliant for the show.
The younger one, for sure, Kaya. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right about that. You get her going about, 100%.
Well, how you been?
She is like her father's child.
I know. I know that. But you do very well. You do very well.
I try hard.
You do. To promote it, we're going to be out in Seattle, Trigby and myself and his two lovely daughters. Might get my youngest godson, Jason, to come on with us. We'll see. He may have to work. You know, he works for Department of Defense, keeping the country safe. And he's very pumped up. I chatted with him briefly this morning via text. And he's very pumped up because, you know, he works for the Navy, and next Saturday is the big Army-Navy game. So I'm going to be hanging out with a bunch of Navy dudes watching the Army-Navy game next week. So I'm excited about that.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
that
right?
is really cool.
Yeah, they're super cool. So I'm excited about that. So we'll be in Seattle.
And we're going to try and get it. I don't know how. I haven't talked to you offline.
I know.
We're working on a very special guest that would leave me awestruck, which is not easy to do.
Right. No promises, but we're working on it. So yep. Stay tuned, all as right. they say. More later. Well, Trigby, lots to get to today in terms of news and happenings out there. I guess just because we haven't talked in a while, give us your take. A lot of things happening out there in D.C. in terms of Trump appointments, this transition. We have, of course, the Biden pardon that went down with Hunter Biden. What's making news in the Beltway? And more importantly, what should we out here in the hinterlands, what's actually important? Let's cut through all the noise. What's really important in terms of this transition right now?
Well, I think at the 30,000 foot level and at the most basic level, what is most important is, you know, the fact that we are seeing senators from both parties take the responsibility of advice and consent seriously, and are asking questions and are demanding that the president elect. And this would be true of any president-elect, doesn't, you know, has some deference paid to the choices that they want on their team, but that the Senate plays a role in cases where they feel differently. And that's the way the system is built. And, you know, for those who are troubled by it, well, the president should get whoever they want, you need to put yourself, you know, for democracy to work, you have to always be asking yourself, if the other side were doing what my side is doing, would I be angry about it? Would I be upset? And if your answer is yes, then you should be intellectually and consistent and quite frankly, you know, consistent from a value standpoint of saying, you know what? My side shouldn't be doing this either. So, you know, it's a process, and I get the process is frustrating and maybe not as fast as some people would want it or as fast as it would be in a place like Russia or Belarus or China, where you don't have that process. But the process is a win-win for everybody because it protects both sides.
Yeah. One of the things that has come out the last 24 hours or so is the Trump appointment or nomination, I should say, for Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of Defense, and lots of allegations about his excessive drinking and womanizing and things like that. And to your point, now you've got guys even like Lindsey Graham, who you can't find a bigger supporter of Trump on Capitol Hill, I don't think, than Lindsey. And even he now is openly questioning and saying, look, there's got a lot of hard questions here, and I'm not sure the guy's going to survive. And so the rumor mill starts turning, and they say, well, and what's being talked about now is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis may be in line for that position if Pete Hegseth has to be pulled.
Yeah, DeSantis is one name. Joni Ernst is another. You know, I don't have any insight into that. I mean, you know, I will say, I was talking to Democrats and, you know, Matt Gaetz had to pull out, and Matt Gaetz clearly was not qualified to be Attorney General of the United States. Pam Bondi, who's now the nominee, is, you know, loyal to Trump, I think. But, you know, she's the Attorney General of Florida.
Right.
And so when people on the left are complaining about Pam Bondi, might they least forget that Janet Reno, who a lot of Republicans had problems with, also was the Attorney General of Florida and ended up as Attorney General because that's who Bill Clinton wanted as his Attorney General. Again, it gets back to my whole thing. Pam Bondi is certainly qualified from a resume standpoint to be Attorney General, and the president should have somebody they trust. You know, Ronald Reagan had Ed Meese. You could make the case, quite frankly, that Pam Bondi is more qualified from a resume standpoint than Alberto Gonzalez was. Like Alberto Gonzalez was George Bush's lawyer, right? Like that gets overlooked. Yeah. So, you know, it's a process. That process of senators expressing discontent, Republican senators, led to Matt Gaetz having to pull out. That and his actions, obviously.
Right.
And you ended up with somebody who is, you know, a choice that maybe some people aren't happy with, other people are happy with. that's the way democracy is supposed to work.
Right.
Hegseth, it's playing out. I mean, I'm not diminishing, like, the accusations that have been made against Hegseth. They're serious. If Hegseth has to pull out and is no longer the nominee, you know, and Ron DeSantis is put forward, he's been the governor of a large state. I think that there is, you know, you could make the case that that's prepares him to be Secretary of Defense. Does that make him the most qualified person in the history of people who've served in that job? I don't know. Right person for that job? I don't know.
And unlike somebody like Tulsi Gabbard, hasn't been accused of being an agent of Putin and Russia, to my knowledge, at least.
Right. I mean, yes, 100%.
Right.
So, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, that is going to be one that is problematic. I think Kash Patel and the FBI, it's clear that that is one, you know, we have not had since J. Edgar Hoover a FBI director who has publicly put out enemies lists. For right. those of you who want to understand why the FBI operates and why the FBI director gets a 10-year term and why they have tried to depoliticize it, watch the movie Hoover, or better yet, read the biography about J. Edgar Hoover called G-Men. Mm. Like, what that guy was doing was not healthy. It led to a bunch of reforms post-Watergate. Having a president, a loyalist with enemies lists, political enemies lists, as the head of that job is not something that really is in Americans' interest. I think there's going to be a lot of pause on that. Senators are going to take that question really seriously.
Well, and I want to get into that. We're coming up on the break here. And when we come back, and I hope people stick around for this, because you're someone, and you know, you can talk about personally however much you want to or don't want to. That's completely your life, and I want to make that clear. But we've talked about it a little bit on this show, and that this enemies list, that retribution out there. And people have asked, we had Reed Galen on last week, or week before, was it Somers, wherever Reed was on after the election. You know, people called and said, look, are you guys scared? You know, what's folks that were at the Lincoln Project and now at the Union, are you guys, you know, nervous about that? I mean, people, I think, out of concern because they appreciate what you guys have done. But also it's extending to the larger media, and in particular at MSNBC. And I want to get your take on this when we come back. We're going to play this cut because David Frum was on the show yesterday, on Morning Joe on MSNBC, and he made kind of a flippant comment about Fox. And then Mika ends up walking it back. And today there's even more fallout for this. And it seems like to me that what you're saying about Kash Patel having an enemies list and retribution, it's already having an effect on the media. And I think that's something really important we have to talk about, and also based on your experiences of how media is controlled in places you've worked to defend democracy, like Eastern Europe. So we'll come back, talk to Trygve Olsen about that. Take your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842. It's a special Thursday edition of Trygve and Todd, Packers versus Lions, coming up later this hour. So don't miss it. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Directly off of Trygve Olsen's top Spotify playlist for 2024. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 21 past the hour of 12 noon, December 5, 2024. Zomers on the board, getting her done. Did you take that directly off of his Spotify playlist?
No, but I am 100% certain that it was on there. Yeah. Don't Tell Me You Love Me by Night Ranger.
You published this, Trygve, so it's public knowledge. What you're
I did. You can still rock in America too. That's what we all need to keep in mind, baby. Right.
What were your top five on your playlist?
My top five songs, or artists were Def Leppard, number one. Yep. Shocking. I'm in the top 0.3% of Def Leppard plays on Spotify last year. Mm-hmm. Night Ranger, number two, because, of course, as longtime listeners know, I'm the kind of guy who goes with his buddies from River Falls to see Night Ranger and Rat at the Stratosphere.
Yes, you
not
do.
Not U2 at the Sphere. Oasis. I went on a little Oasis binge. I was never a big Oasis guy, but I kind of, not Wonderwall so much or Champagne Supernova, but some other deeper cuts. Elton John and my favorite, The Suburbs.
The Suburbs?
Minneapolis band.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet you our friend and contributor Jeff Perry will know that. I do not know who The Suburbs
Rattle My Bones by The Suburbs was my top played song.
Really?
So good.
Well, if we can play that on the air, maybe we'll dig a little of that up a little bit later. Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Packer owner, going to talk Packers a little bit later. But Trigvi, I want to get into this a little bit because I want your take on this. Again, what you talked about earlier, Kash Patel, the nominee for FBI of Trump's, has said he's basically made this enemies list. There's going to be retribution. They're going to go after media. The new FCC nominee to head the FCC has talked about retribution against media that has treated Trump, quote unquote, unfairly. And now, yesterday on The Morning Joe, and of course, we've had Elise Jordan, your personal friend, and she's been on this show. We always appreciate her. She is a contributor on that program. But on Morning Joe yesterday on MSNBC, David Frum from The Atlantic was on. And then later on, Mika Brzezinski, co-host with Joe Scarborough, they're now husband and wife, kind of walked this back. And in this clip, the way I have it, it's kind of backwards, but we're going to play Mika's walking it back, and then it has the actual clip from David Frum that she was reacting to. Here's yesterday's Morning Joe.
Before we go to break, a little bit earlier in this block, there was a comment made about Fox News in our coverage about Pete Hegseth and the growing number of allegations about his behavior over the years and possible addiction to alcohol or issues with alcohol. The comment was a little too flippant for this moment that we're in. We just want to make that comment as well. We want to make that clear. We have differences in coverage with Fox News, and that's a good debate that we should have often. But right now, I just want to say there's a lot of good people that work at Fox News who care about Pete Hegseth, and we'll want to leave it at that.
David, I'll start with you on this. What's your sense of where the Hegseth pick is headed here?
Well, just given what one sees on camera, if you're too drunk for Fox News, you're very, very drunk indeed. So that's alarming. In 1989, President George H.W. Bush nominated John Tower, senator from Texas, for Secretary of Defense. Now, Tower was a very considerable person, a real defense intellectual, someone who deeply understood defense, unlike the current nominee. And it emerged that Tower had a drinking problem. And when he was drinking too much, he would make himself a nuisance or worse to the women around him. And for that reason, his nomination collapsed in 1989. You don't want to think that our moral standards have declined so much that you could say, let's take all the drinking, all the sex pesting, subtract any knowledge of defense, subtract any leadership, and there's your next Secretary of Defense for the 21st century.
So that was David Frum for The Atlantic, the last clip you heard. And then the first clip was Mika Brzezinski later on in the show yesterday walking his comments back. Well, Frum wrote an article that appeared basically saying I'll probably never be asked to be back on the show, but said, look, this is the sound of fear, and pointing out that this is exactly what you, Trevi, were talking about in this intimidation. Well, this morning, Joe Scarborough took to the air and said, quote, that wasn't the sound of fear, but rather the sound of civility, and claimed that she, Brzezinski, hadn't apologized for Frum's comment, as he suggested in the article, that, quote, she simply said it was too flippant. Just because some people have said that we're fearful. Let me tell you something, Scarborough went on. You can talk to anybody that's worked in the front office at NBC, MSNBC over the past 22 years. I tell you, I'm not fearful. If you talk to anybody that served with me in Congress, they'll tell you I'm not fearful of leadership. Now, not fearful, unquote, Joe Scarborough. Trigvi, let's see.
Well, fear is the primary strategy that autocratic actors use and people with autocratic personality disorder use to try and, you know, create this inevitability and invincibility that they're using to impose their vertical power. I think a couple of things. One, I think she comes across sounding a little bit fearful.
Mika.
I think Mika does. I think second, though, I think she may have been alluding to, you know, the first part of what David said, not the later piece. So it's the part about Fox News, too drunk for Fox News. I kind of get that, like, you know, with what Scarborough says. But at the end of the day, like, honestly, one of the rules for dealing with autocratic actors is that the Stalin rule, that whoever's your ally in the moment, you're fighting with them. I don't think Joe and Mika are the problem. And the fact, yes, they should probably have not gone to Mar-a-Lago. Yes, it appears that they're violating Tim Snyder's rule at times. Don't give up power unilaterally. But at the same time, quite frankly, there's other things that should be the focus right now. Because most people outside of the Beltway, this is a bunch of elites talking with elites. And quite frankly, you know, right now, and I say this probably to somebody who some people would say is an elite, although I still think of myself as just a pretty simple guy from River Falls, Wisconsin. But we have a whole lot of elites who want to be. And I want to be on TV. I want to be a political strategist. I want to be president of the United States. We need people who want to do. That was the secret of the greatest generation, Todd.
Come on back. More with Trigvi Olsen on the other side. Listen to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hot, coming in hot off Trigvi Olsen's Spotify playlist. It's 34 past the hour and 12 noon on Thursday, December 5th. Sommers, what do you dial up?
Rattle My Bones by The Suburbs.
Look at that. That's a good song. I like that, actually.
One of the best songs of all time.
Yeah, I can see how that...
The Suburbs used to play at First Avenue all the time.
Really?
They might have been the house band after Prince.
Nice.
But yeah, The Suburbs. Suburbs are a Minneapolis, like a Twin Cities iconic group.
Do you listen?
The awesome thing about that song is there's so much going on. They've got horns. They've got sax. They've got strings. They got electric guitars. They got a lot going on in that song.
Do you listen to this? Is that one of your warm up songs for your hockey league?
No.
All right. Yeah, something more.
You know what happened in my hockey league last night?
Todd? This is the question I want to ask you about, because I saw something posted, and it's you in your right on the ice, and you're just lurking and looking down at this poor guy that I don't. You check to the ice. It looks like you knocked him out. And I'm like, what is going on here?
I did.
What?
That was the championship game of my Masters B League. And this guy was running his mouth. He was cheap shotting people. And we were up. I had done pretty well in that game. We were up like 8-2. The game's over. And I went and said something to the guy. He gave me a little stick work, and I went over and said something to him, and he brought his stick up and hit me right up under the mask.
Whoa.
And then turned his back. So I just tomahawked him right on the back part of the leg, which I knew was going to hurt like crazy, because I've had that done to me before. Mm. You have a tendon, you know, I forget what it's called, but your IT band. So I got him right on the IT band just above the knee where there's no pad with where the stick connects to the blade. And he went down, and the refs, I got kicked out. But
I bet
Ula had come to the game. And Ula took that picture of it. And I said to him, what do you got to say now? I had a huge freaking lump. So the refs kicked me out. But the thing is, I know the refs because it's always the same refs. And I was talking to him after the game and they're like, what'd that guy do to you? And I'm like, look at my face. Could have taken out some teeth.
Right.
And they're like, we knew he did something because that's not you. And that guy was causing problems all over the ice. And they're like, so I was supposed to be suspended, but they wrote a note to the principal who runs the league and said that they amended it. So instead of a match penalty, I got a 5-minute major and that was that.
And Ula said, that's my dad.
Oh my God. Ula was like, oh my God, dad. She's like, you were mad. And you know, it takes a lot to get me mad.
Yes.
I'm generally not a mad person.
You're a docile guy. Probably. Yeah.
I am pretty docile, but when I get mad,
watch
I get
out.
Really mad. I was mad. It wasn't even about him hitting me. It was about him hitting people that couldn't defend themselves. If he'd have stayed facing me, I'd have probably just dropped my stick and started punching him, but I didn't get to do that. So I tomahawked him, remember, which is pretty cheap.
Remember, kids, violence is never the answer. Trivial.
I wish our guy who played for the Badgers was the backup goalie at the Badgers would call in. I'm sure he can relate to that.
I'm sure.
I guarantee you he tomahawked some people in the crease.
Sherry checking in from Horicon saying good afternoon, Todd, Aaron, and friends, and gives us a little Christmas tree and Santa. Oh, look at that. It is the season. It's a little holiday cheer trivia. That's what we're going for.
You know what Ula said? I got to share what Ula said in the car since listeners will get to have Ula's take on football. She did say to me in the car, she's like, Dad, I think that's an example of toxic masculinity.
Good for her.
I said, no, it's not, Ula. It's an example of ice hockey. And she's like, right, toxic masculinity.
Kids keeping you honest. Love it.
I know. And then she had to tell her sister and mom and show them the picture. And mom wasn't very happy about it.
I bet she wasn't. Trivia Olsen joins us usually every Wednesday, but joining us on a Thursday. Going to talk Packers here in a minute. Of course, the Packers taking on Detroit. You can listen to that game if you are in select cities across Wisconsin, and as David Letterman likes to say, hopefully one of your cities has been selected. If you live in the RC, Richland Center, or Park Falls, or Racine Kenosha, you can listen to it on one of the Civic Media stations in those respective cities. Broadcast starts at 5 p.m. tonight, and then Wayne Larrivee takes over the broadcast just after 7 for the play-by-play with The Rock. Packers at the Lions, a key game. Going to talk about it more in just a minute. But first, Trigby, before the break, talking about this issue of people like Cash Patel being nominated for FBI director by Trump, the FCC guy who's going to be the chair of the FCC because he's already on the FCC. He does not have to be confirmed. And both of these individuals have talked about retribution to the media. If they're media people that say something that Trump or his folks don't like. And I think that's just very, very dangerous. And we played a little bit of the Mika and Joe clip on Morning Joe, and there's been some accusations that they're fearful. They're acting in fear. And you talking before the break about things that you've seen and taking on autocracies around the world. And fear is a key tenet of that. Former Congressman, Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, speaking out, being asked the same question about fear. Here's a guy who is Republican from Illinois, one of two Republicans that sat on the bipartisan January 6th committee with Liz Cheney, and is also being talked about as someone who could be targeted once Trump takes office. Here's what Kinzinger said this week.
You say that you have zero fear of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Why?
Look,
how I should say.
I've been to war, okay? Donald Trump, I'm not trying to just be partisan shots here. He is a small, weak man who is scared to death of people. He's scared to death of strong people. And so for me, I refuse to be intimidated. I didn't break the law. All I did was get answers to the American people. If you want to come after me, you have to make something up. And by the way, if you make something up, I'm going to use that and become twice the pain in your backside that I ever have been if you're going to come after me for no reason. And the American people won't stand for it. They may have elected Donald Trump, but they still want the law and the justice system to work as it should.
Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman. Trigby, I thought that was well said. We've had both calls and texts texts asking about the Lincoln Project, of course, made up predominantly, but not all, of former Republicans like yourself, out of genuine concern for you and Stuart Stevens and Reed Galen and Rick Wilson, but also for the organization. I'll let you talk about it as much as you want or in depth as you want. But first of all, I guess, just how are you doing and the folks of the Lincoln Project, and what are the plans moving into 2025?
Yeah, I mean, Lincoln Project is going to continue to do what we do. We're not going anywhere. We haven't done anything wrong. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. We're going to, you know, with our think tank and with some new stuff we're going to be rolling out, we're really going to, at least me, my role, I'm going to be focused a lot on how we empower people within their families, within their communities, within their friends, how they have constructive conversations about things that are happening in America and politics, rather than the destructive kind of conversations, sort of to what we had, the conversations that we had prior to Thanksgiving. For me personally, you know, Todd, I mean, you know this, and you sometimes talk about it, and I'm always a little embarrassed, like, you know, I got banned from Russia by Putin and Nikolai Patrushev. And Patrushev gave a speech to the Duma where he was talking about, you know, John McCain and myself. I was declared an enemy of the Belarusian state by Alexander Lukashenko. I, you know, kind of like Kinzinger saying he's bent to war. I understand what the game is, and it's human nature to sometimes sit there and think, well, this isn't great. But the truth of the matter is, this is still the United States of America. Wisconsin is still Wisconsin, and we have the right to, I haven't done anything wrong. I've exercised a right to free speech, which last time I checked, Jefferson and Madison and Hamilton and a group of guys got together and bestowed that right. And boys ran off the beach at Normandy and in places like Iwo Jima and many others around the world to defend that right. We have to stand up and not be afraid. Roosevelt was right after Pearl Harbor. The only thing we really have to fear is fear itself.
Yeah, well said. Well, I respect you and all those at Lincoln Project. As you so accurately said, the men and women who have fought physical and actual wars and put themselves online for these freedoms that we all enjoy. I mean, they're the real heroes in all of this.
Honestly, what this is really about in this period is about helping prop up and give courage to each other. And so I will tell you this, if maybe you're somebody on the left who listens to our show right now, members of Congress who are Republicans who are standing up to and asking questions about some of the nominees, they're your allies. Pick up the phone and call them and just say thank you. Mm-hmm. Write them a note, say thank you. Those things matter, right? They want people to feel, and I've seen this around the world, they want people to feel like you're the only one who thinks this way. You're the minority, you should be afraid. You know, the Orange Revolution in Ukraine was about people wearing the color orange so that others would know you don't have to be afraid. And I've said this before, for me, having been around, you know, with the early conversations about the Lincoln Project, and to this day, I have people come up to me all the time and, you know, say thank you. The truth of the matter is I feel far more gratitude to all those who said, we're not alone, because when we first talked about doing it, we were like, what if no one stands up with us? Millions of people feel the way that we do. And we shouldn't be afraid in that, just as Adam says.
Well said. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Wisco Paul calling in. Wisco, always a pleasure. What say you?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Todd. It's nice to hear people are going to stand up against Trump. And you have another voice, Civic Media, Lincoln Project. You know, Trump didn't win by a lot. I think it's like 1%. And you only have so much political capital to burn, and he's burning it. He's really setting a fire on his cabinet here. Mm. But do you think he's basically, I can do some damage, but 2 years, and then you have elections again for Congress. So, I'm just wanting to get Triggy's thought on that. 2 years, and that's about it, correct? Thanks for taking my call.
Well, 2 years, I mean, if they – are there people within Trump's orbit – I can't speak for Donald Trump. Are there people within Trump's orbit who are now in power who are not going to want to give up power and who are going to be like, well, we got to make these elections so that they – you know, that we don't lose power. Maybe, yeah, that's what history would say. You saw on January 6th, right? But the reality is that means that for the next 2 years, instead of focusing on the politics that we know of elections and all of that, there's going to be elections in 2026. But right now, it's all about reinforcing those guardrails and the people that are standing up when there are things that are wrong. But at the same time, it's also recognizing that, you know, everything that there are things that they are doing that are not outside the norm, you know, like Marco Rubio is a perfectly normal person to be having as Secretary of State. So complaining about Marco Rubio, I had somebody who was complaining to me about Sean Duffy as Secretary of Transportation. You know, I know Sean a little bit. Is he qualified to be Secretary of Transportation? Yeah. So, you know, okay, like his politics might not be mine. He, you know, chose a different path than I did, but like, don't waste a lot of time complaining about Sean Duffy. Focus on the things that matter. And literally, how do we reinforce the guardrails? And that's going to make for some weird alliances. And in some cases, those will be alliances of convenience. Then on other things, there won't be agreement. But that's the way democracy is supposed to be.
Yeah. I promise we're going to get to Packers here. We don't have a lot of time to get into it now, like 30 seconds. But Ben Wickler is running for chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Give us your 20-second take on that.
I mean, I can't say enough about Ben. Ben, I've gotten to know Ben. I consider Ben a friend, and it's a really fun thing to get to know Ben. Ben and I come from very different parts of Wisconsin. We have different views on things. He's pretty progressive. I'm pretty conservative, but I'm a huge fan of Ben. The Democrats would be lucky to have Ben.
Back with more Trigvy Olson, your calls, and yes, the Packers versus the Lions on Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Todd Allbaugh Show with Howard Cosell coming to you live across the state of Wisconsin on a hallowed night in Ford Field. Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers will be playing Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions.
Well done. Trigvy also with his best Howard Cosell impersonation. That's pretty good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm kind of dating myself. Yeah, I got a few.
That was fantastic. Welcome back.
I can do Elvis. I can only do bad 70s figures, apparently.
We're going to talk about the big game tonight. But first of all, I want to clean up one of our phone calls here. Longtime listener, one of our great friends, Mark from Pertisac. Mark, we got to talk Packers, so make it quick. But what do you got?
Yeah, it was amazing to me that the animosity I heard from somebody who is a Trump supporter over the, you know, the holiday about the Lincoln Project. I mean, they're just a bunch of Trump haters. We know all about them and what their agenda is. And I go, well, you know, there you have it. I mean, it's gonna be a rocky road for all of us in the next. For the next 4 years or 2 years, and you know, Trump's allies are, you know, lining up behind him and just more or less, you know, just his minions and his little harem that he's going to have around himself. But as Hamilton put in one of it, you know, harem is his minions and mistresses, and and some of his mistresses are misters, and that it's. They're just going to idolize him, and that's what he thrives on. And that's not what we wanted to have in this country.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call, but we got to keep.
I think it's ironic that you know, I don't really hate Donald Trump. I'm kind of agnostic about him. I think he is not a. If a person like Donald Trump were to come home with my daughter, from college, I would be very disappointed in the choices that they had made. That really is what it's about. And it's about, you know, it's not about, they intentionally try and do that. The reality is they have this whole line that, and it's a clever line, Trump derangement syndrome. What it is if you don't like Trump, you're deranged. When in reality, derangement is watching what the guy was doing and saying on January 6th and then going back to him. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get a different result. And the truth of the matter is the easy decision and the profitable decision for me, I mean, one of my close friends ran the Trump campaign. You can look up how much money people who were doing Trump campaign made. Like, that would have been the profitable decision for the person on the text line. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been a very easy decision for me to make. And I might have made that if it weren't for the fact that I had been blessed with the opportunity, just by dumb luck, really, to go travel to all these places and meet people who were fighting for democracy and wanting to do rather than wanting to be.
Yeah, having a first row seat.
So I get it's a talking point, you know. But, you know, whatever. I honestly, you know, it reminds me of this, and it's a good pivot into the Packers. My mom called me back when she was alive years ago when I was still doing Republican politics. And she's like, oh, my God, Trigvi, do you know what they're saying about you on the internet? Have you Googled yourself? And I'm like, yeah, I know what they say about me on the internet. She's like, doesn't it bother you? And I said, Mom, do you think Aaron Rodgers is bothered by me opining about how he should have run the plays during the game? Like, if they knew what they were talking about, they would be in the game, not
right.
Opining on social media. So
great point. All right, speaking of the game.
Of Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers
and the
that.
Jets.
Well,
Ryan Gutekunst fleecing the Jets.
No, but I mean, we should have talked about this.
Jets.
We should have talked about this goofy Netflix thing. I've seen, like, clips of it. It's bizarre. It has, like, cameras following him to Costa Rica and ayahuasca ceremonies and laying in a
Not
creek.
Since Jimmy the Greek is a football icon, had such strange opinions on things.
Yes, Howard, yes. all right, if the playoffs started today, the Green Bay Packers would be a 6th seed in the NFC. They would take on, guess who, the Seattle Seahawks. They're in right now as a wild card, but if they have any hope to catch Detroit in the division, who is the number one seed right now in the NFC.
I don't think they're not going to catch
them. All right, they're not going to catch them. Are they going to win tonight?
Detroit plays little sisters of the poor, like, in four of their last six games. So, like, they're not going to catch Detroit. They might beat Detroit, and I think it's important, although you could make the case, the Packers are going to make the playoffs. It's really hard to beat a team three times in the NFL in a row. Mm-hmm. And if the Packers are going to have to go to Detroit, they might just as well lose tonight and force Detroit to have to beat them three times. Although that isn't to say that I want them to lose to Detroit. I would like them to go in and beat Detroit. But, you know, and here's the other thing. These other two conferences, the NFC South and the NFC East,
yeah.
Like, whoever comes out of them are going to be bad teams. And the NFC West is no great shakes either. The NFC Central is where the power lies, except for the Bears. How's that going?
The Bears still suck. Yeah.
Can you say that word?
Yeah. Well, there's a song we
I
played
had to go
this,
back and watch George Carlin about the words that. You can't use.
You can, you know, say the Bears
George
suck.
Carlin. Right. I had George Carlin educate me on what I can and can't say on the radio, which probably says a lot about me. But so back to the Packers, right? Like, listen, Packers are playing better. They're going to be without Jair, which honestly, like, he's only played half the games. So they're better when Jair's out there. Edgerton Cooper, that's not good. Romeo Doubs has got a pretty bad concussion if he's still out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to be easy to go into Detroit and win. But they played Detroit fairly well. If Love doesn't throw that interception, we saw it live.
We did.
Todd.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a terrible. I mean, they just didn't have energy on the offense when we watched that game.
Yes.
I'll take Jordan Love. 100%. I'll take Jordan Love and the Packers tonight at Ford Field. Trigvi Olsen, thank you so very much.
I'll take who's ever playing the University of Wisconsin.
Stop. All right. Here we go. Thanks, Trigvi. We'll see you out in Seattle next. Well, we'll see you next Wednesday somewhere as well. All right. Thank you very much.
Yes. Back with Hour 2, What's Worse Next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.